What's cracking into our second hour? Breaking story at the end of the first hour, which we'll get into momentarily. I want to remind you, I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. 1-800-636-8686. We start the second hour by having a conversation with an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. A key part of the NFL today. A friend of the program, co-host of Inside Access on 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore, co-host of the Baldy's Breakdowns podcast, proud owner of a new rescue, Gigi. He is Jason Lockenfora, JLC. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm not worthy. I got my fingers crossed here between Copper and Gigi. We survived this interview without too much doggy madness, but I may have already jinxed it.
It's going to be all right. It's going to be good. Whatever they want, whatever they need.
You got good vibes. I'm glad. If you got good vibes, I got good vibes.
Oh, I do, man. You know me. I love animals. I'm all about it. I'm here for it. In fact, I'm disappointed if they don't represent during the interview.
You may get more than you bargained for.
What is your reaction, JLC, to the tweet from J.J. Watt that he is going to be an Arizona Cardinal? That's a pretty good source.
Yeah, I can confirm that. It's a little maybe off the beaten path to what a lot of people kind of assumed or projected how this might go down, given where he is at this stage of his career. If you heard any of the NFL films clips of him this year, including the one where he talked to Deshaun Watson about we wasted another year of your career, and even some of his very much on the record comments at a few press conferences at various points in Houston. Not that the Cardinals aren't a good team, Jim, but I don't know if they're a team that you would say is absolutely on the cusp of a Super Bowl, like you might have said a Green Bay and a homecoming for him in Wisconsin might be. Not that there's any sure things. There was a lot of people talking about Cleveland. I never, frankly, bought into that much. I kind of thought they were being used. But Arizona, I want to see the meat and potatoes of this contract. I want to see all the particulars. But it's certainly going to be a lot of money. It sounds like it's going to be at least $23 million for 2 years. I don't think the market for J.J. Watt among contending teams, because let's face it, weird cap year, tight against the cap. Most good teams already have pretty high payrolls. I don't know that financially, this idea that there was all these teams throwing $16 million a year at him, that didn't jibe with my reporting either. Could this mean a Chandler Jones trade is ultimately afoot? Could they tag Hassan Reddick, keep him as one edge guy, move J.J. Watt around, and then maybe see what they could get for a Chandler Jones? It raises some interesting questions. But I'm a little surprised, Jim, that it maybe didn't end up being less money, but with a team that most people would say is boy, maybe a J.J. Watt away from winning a Super Bowl. I don't reckon that's who the Cardinals are.
So if that is the case, JLC, that being said, why do you think he went there? Is it a straight money play or something else?
Well, I mean, they probably courted him the way he wanted to be courted. A lot of other teams were kind of slow playing this and didn't want to make a full commitment until they knew a little bit more about the cap. He's obviously going to have a lot of creature comforts. I mean, a lot of guys like living out there. Have homes out there, like training out there. Money always talks, Jim, as well. I mean, if you want to truly feel wanted, if someone wants to show you that they value your services more than others in any walk of life, but particularly in professional sports, it's often, how many zeros and where's that decimal point and, who's coming at me kind of waving around a blank check. And who's talking about, well, we need a little more time. Well, we really like you, JJ, but, it's a weird year with the cap and this and that. I think it'd be naive to think that money isn't a key factor because, again, he's not going somewhere where they've been in the playoffs 8 of the last 10 years and have recently won Super Bowls. That's not the resume of the team he just signed with.
All right, Jason Lockenfora is joining us. Now, JLC, you have been all over the Russell Wilson situation since the start of this whole thing a few weeks back on Super Bowl Sunday. I remember he came into our green room. He did the interview. He came out of the green room. And you've been on this ever since, all over this. But when did you first get the sense that there was something happening in terms of the relationship between Russ and that team?
I think, Jim, we can go back to when he signed his contract extension, and I'm pretty sure you and I had at least a couple of these discussions. because it was a situation that was more long, drawn out, arduous, and at times contentious than a lot of people thought things would be, considering all he'd done there, the success he'd already had there individually and collectively, how young he still was, and you know, he's a top five quarterback. But that wasn't totally hunky-dory. You know, there were some times where it got sideways, where communication either broke down, and frankly, where in Russell's estimation, though he wouldn't say it at the time and might not even say it now, you know, I don't know that he felt like he was being sort of handled like the guy he was. I think at times Russell feels like they're going to always see me as this third-round amazing find, great discovery that they picked up on out of Wisconsin, and maybe not truly be able to embrace and see the evolution of me as a man, as a quarterback, as a person, as a philanthropist, as a international icon now, to some degree at least, I think, through, you know, the power couple with Sierra. You know, am I always, you know, there's some people you talk to and they're like, well, why did you leave this business, or why did you leave this this opportunity? Why didn't you stay? And it's like, well, I felt like they'd always look at me as an intern there, you know, or they'd always look at me as the little engine that could, but never quite see me sort of in as robust of a manner as I see myself or as what I've become. And I don't think that dynamic is a Seahawks Russell Wilson dynamic. I think that's something that a lot of people could probably relate to on a certain level. So I think there's always been some things under the surface there, Jim. And certainly they knew when they re-upped him that he was sick of getting beat like a pinata and sacked 40-plus times a year. That dynamic has only gotten worse. It's not as if they've added a completely overhaul of their offensive staff, and there's all these new coaches who were at the vanguard of what was going on in college and pro, and there's been this sort of influx of the greatest minds possible. I think the answer to the test there most days is play defense, run the football. You know, him making $35 million a year hasn't changed that.
Jason Lockenfor is joining us. You know, GLC, I wonder, I mean, that's how he feels probably. If you had to guess, how do you think Pete Carroll, John Schneider, and the rest of the organization feel about how this situation is playing out? For instance, do they think that Russ may have a point, or do they think, you know what, by the way, we've actually done a hell of a lot for this guy?
Yeah, I don't think anything has gotten better since Super Bowl Sunday. I think everything I am gathering is both sides are kind of entrenched in their camps, and the Seahawks feel a little bit sort of flummoxed as to how this, you know, just sort of became a thing early in the offseason. I don't know that they would see it as a continuum of some of the things that were left said or unsaid during the last contract negotiation. I think they felt probably a little bit ambushed by it. But I think people close to Russell Wilson would say, bro, there's been breadcrumbs, easy for me to say, dropped all over the place for a long time about sort of this underbelly of unrest, and you guys never really want to have a bedside manner. You don't want to kind of be a little more touchy-feely. They kind of feel like it's, well, Russ never gets hurt. Russ has never been hurt. Russ can make do with less. Russ doesn't need the offensive line. Russ doesn't need all these concepts, you know, and things that are being installed for other quarterbacks. He'll be fine. And he's been in the league 10 years now, and his body doesn't feel as fine as it used to be. And he's watching these highlights. He's watching what's going on around the league. He's seeing a dude 10 years older than him call a shot and end up in a Super Bowl. And he's thinking, I don't, as much as I want to play till I'm 45, am I on a treadmill here, or are we really gaining on these other teams?
Jason Lockenfor is my guest once again. JLC, moving on to something else quickly. What do you make of the video of Drew Brees pushing that sled? Does that make you think that maybe it's not a lock that he's retiring, or maybe is he and his team up to something a little bit different?
You know, I don't know, Jim. I had heard since before the season started and right through the season that every indication and signal and smokescreen that he had sent up to his coaches, to his teammates, to his friends, to the people who knew him best, was that this is it. This is the last ride, the last hurrah. If it ends in a Super Bowl, great. If it ends in a loss, so be it. But I'm going to give it my all, and this is it. a lot of people had reported even stronger than that, that it was definitely, definitely, absolutely retiring. I hadn't heard that, but I'd certainly heard that it would be an absolute shock to anybody who'd been around him this year if he were going to play football in 2021. Now, that doesn't mean that he couldn't change his mind. He's entitled to do whatever he wants. If something lit a different fire under him, so be it. But, you know, his situation is probably a whole lot closer to Ben Roethlisberger than it was Tom Brady a year ago. You know, I don't know what the market right now for Drew Brees would look like. And I don't know that even the Saints bringing him back makes a whole lot of sense for where they are as a franchise vis-a-vis the cap, the payroll, everything else. They've got this Taysom Hill thing. They really like Jameis Winston. They would absolutely love to upgrade on all that and get Russell Wilson. It may not be realistic for those reasons I just talked about, cap, cash, otherwise. But I don't, you know, I think Drew Brees, like, I don't know what other team would be looking at Drew Brees right now. You know, he's five times undefeated. He's run out of steam each of the last 3 years, kind of on the other side of Thanksgiving. Injuries were never a factor with him forever. Now they've been a factor in a significant manner, a couple of years in a row. And it's a young man's game. The more athletic you are, you know, Drew Brees would be a great fit in this league right now 10 years ago, probably even a better fit than he was then. But that's not who he is right now.
JLC joining us. Jason, one last topic before you go. Deshaun Watson clearly does not want to be in Houston. We know this. As you have reported in the past, the Panthers would love to have him in Carolina. I mean, is there any way the Texans deal this guy?
Oh, I absolutely think there's a way. We've seen blockbuster trades with great regularity in this league in recent years, many of them spurred by a disgruntled player. I just think at the end of the day, Nick Caserio is going to be able to convince that owner that this fight isn't worth it. You know, Nick Caserio spent his entire career in Foxborough, where no one was bigger than the team ever on their best day, not even Tom Brady. In fact, the head coach treated Tom Brady worse than pretty much everybody else to pull him down to the pack, to let everybody know it is Patriot Uberalis. We don't care about the name on the back of your jersey. And here he is in his first opportunity outside of there, and everybody cares about the one guy who doesn't want to be there. Nobody cares about anybody else on that team right now. Nobody's really interested in the future or his plan or what he could do with all these draft picks. Every single question is about how did you blow up with Deshaun Watson. I just don't know at the end of the day that he and David Kelly, it makes any sense for them to have this, try to start this new regime when the entire storyline, the entire tale of your season is where in the world is Deshaun Watson? The owner isn't there now yet, and he can be pretty stubborn, but I think ultimately there'll be something thrown at them that is viewed even by Cal McNair as too good of an offer to pass on.
So if you were a betting man, who do you think would make that offer?
Well, I think it could be a number of teams. Like Carolina will have no shortage of, has no shortage of interest and will be very creative to try to get it done. But if they fall in love with a quarterback who they think the only way to get him is at 2 or 3, then obviously Miami and the Jets would make more sense. I mean, Kyle Shanahan would want to get in on this big time. I don't know that he has the draft and cheap player arsenal, sort of capital that it would take to win an arms race if it goes that way. But I mean, if I was them and I could go get Brian Burns, I could go get Jeremy Chinn and 3 first round picks from the Carolina Panthers, I might have to strongly consider it.
He is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com, a key part of the NFL Today, good friend of the program, has podcasts and a new pup, rescue dog Gigi. JLC, great to have you back. Thank you so much for that. We'll do it again soon. I appreciate you.
Thank you for the jungle doggy karma. Oh, there we go. Well, you got a little bit of it.
There you go. Thanks, brother. That's how you close the show. Jason Lockenfora, proud owner of the new rescue, Gigi. All right, when we come back, what are your thoughts on that? J.J. Watt picks Arizona. What do you make of that decision? Does that surprise you? Where do you think he's going with that? JLC made the point, you know, if you want to go somewhere who affords you the best opportunity to win it all right now, that may not necessarily be the place. Maybe not. J.J. Watt obviously saw something there he liked, or things he likes. You can save big during O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale with great deals on socket sets, power tools, and more. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get $10 off a 200-piece mechanics tool set plus double O rewards points. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Do you need wiper blades? They can help you navigate their wide selection and find just the right wiper blades for your car and then install them free of charge. They will even test your battery for free. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people there can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck, and you'll get it at a guaranteed low price. So make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested or getting new wiper blades installed for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people are at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I mentioned March Madness right around the corner. Saturday, teams on the bubble and tournament seeds still up for grabs. All that's going on, so CBS is going to roll into March with a college basketball triple header once again. It starts at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific with Georgetown at Connecticut, followed by number 6 Alabama at Georgia. A Pac-12 matchup between number 19 USC and UCLA. Love that. March is officially here. The road to the Final Four continues on Saturday with a college hoops triple header on CBS. So again, big story this morning, J.J. Watt going to the Cardinals. Can't lie, I did not see that coming. But he makes that decision, and again, according to reports, 2 years, $31 million, 23 of it guaranteed. And he does not go to the Browns, which I thought made a lot of sense. He does not go to the Packers, which would have made sense. The Bills, which would have made sense. Pittsburgh, in the sense that he's got brothers there, but they could not get him in under the cap, I'm sure. Definitely Green Bay, too, though, with his Wisconsin roots. But Arizona sneaks up, and they get this guy. Why do you think he went there? What's that mean to them? And what about Chandler Jones? JLC said, I don't know whether or not this precipitates a possible trade with Jones. Man, I don't know. I don't know how that goes either. But wouldn't you want both those guys to be wrecking shop, wreaking havoc? So we'll see. Quickly, this says, great choice, Mr. Watt. Signed, Mark Lindsay. Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Mark Lindsay. Aaron in Beacon Hill. James in Sacramento tweets, the Drew Brees situation is sadder than the end of the Favre era. Favre never had a noodle arm. Again, we don't know what this is. That era may have already ended. He hasn't announced it yet, but he may have already played his last game and he may already know it. And I'm not sure really what's going on with Drew Brees. We just saw the video of him pushing that sled down this driveway, into the street, and his trainer is saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Drew,
black,
yo,
Drew.
DB, what's up?
Drew to the black.
I don't know. I don't work out with them. I have no idea how they normally communicate with each other. It sounded to me like my man was working pretty hard to sell something when he's saying, Drew, what are you doing?
Drew!
Ma!
What are you doing?
Where's the meatloaf, Ma?
Drew!
What is she doing? What is she thinking? What is she ever thinking?
Meatloaf!
I don't know. So I don't want to sit here and say this is sadder than the Favre era, the end of that era. But even Favre never had noodle arm. I'll tell you who did. Peyton Manning.
Omaha!
But went to Denver and got his. At UCLA, Dr. Frank is in. Quote, hey Jim, I'm going to laugh my ass off when the Cards fail to make the playoffs again this season. Fire Cliff Kingsbury and bring in Bill O'Brien as head coach. Yeah, I can pretty much bet my life that's not going to happen. I'd be willing to bet anything I have, including my life, that that will never happen. And my life has great value to me.
For life.
If I'm pushing my life to the center of the table, I'm pretty sure that Bill O'Brien's not going to be hired by the Arizona Cardinals after next year. I didn't say I will. I said I'd be willing to. I'm already second-guessing myself. Yeah, I don't think that's what that's about. Again, obviously, J.J. Watt saw something there that he really liked. Really liked. You think J.J. Watt would go someplace and sign a multi-year deal if he didn't think that that coach was going to be there for him to play for? That factors into it, right? I think most guys, regardless of sport, when given a choice, and if they become free agents, pick who they pick or where they pick based on a couple of things. Number one, money. It starts with money. Number two, and then in no particular order. The only order is money in most cases. But then also, playing time, chance to win a championship, a desirable location where you can live and work. You know, Arizona does check a lot of those boxes. Could he have found a place, though, that afforded him a better opportunity to win a championship or compete for a championship right away? Probably so. Green Bay was awfully close, right? Cleveland is ascending quickly. Buffalo was awfully close. Hey, Jim, J.J. Watt picked Arizona? So did we. Signed people who can't afford SoCal. Brett and Bugaha. That's a real thing. That is a real thing. I can remember a day when almost nobody ever moved out of state, if you were here in Cali. And now it's a real thing if somebody can afford to stay in state. State taxes, real estate. Like, people are leaving. And you don't know. You always assume your family. Like, if you have kids, maybe they go away to school, but you know they'll come back, right? Their family. Not so much now. Not in California. Because it's way too expensive. All of that said, I do not think that applies to J.J. Watt. I don't think J.J. Watt is fleeing the state to get to Arizona because it's cheaper. Hey, Rome, I think J.J. Watt going to Arizona, this stage of his career, is a great idea. Regards, Emmett Smith. Not the same deal. All right, again, they've got a young coach who's got lots of good ideas. They've got a lot of playmakers. They've got a franchise quarterback. There is a great quality of life there. I can see why he picked it. I'm surprised, given the speculation, but not surprised that that's where he ended up in terms of what they have to offer. And SA Sports Honk tweets, Rome, I could have told you J.J. Watt was going to the Cards, but it would have cost you $100. Signed, Miss Cleo. Yeah, that's not where I go for my information. Or research. Or anything like that. So what do you make? J.J. Watt does not go to Cleveland, does not go to Green Bay, does not go to Buffalo, does not go to Pittsburgh, but ends up with the Cards. Definitely a little surprising. But I'm happy for them. At Balby 21787 tweets, I'm sure Hopkins being in Arizona had something to do with J.J. going there. I'm sure you're right. You know why that is? He's one of the best receivers in the NFL. Just like I'm sure Kyler Murray being in Arizona is one of the reasons why he went there too. I don't think he needed DeAndre in his ear to make that decision. It probably helped if DeAndre said, hey, yeah, big dog, you'd like it here a lot. This is a good place to be. But in and of itself, that's not why he went there. Romy, Coach Dingleberry has no excuses this year. Let's go Cards. Pete in Phoenix, trust me, Cliff knows what's at stake. He does. He knows they have to take a big step this year. And by the way, they took a step last year. There was a point during the season last year, in fact, I went on the NFL and CBS and said as much. To me, they were the team to beat in the NFC West. They were trending in the right direction, and they got away from them. Rome, what is J.J. Watt thinking by going to Arizona? He's thinking that his career has more past than future. Arizona has low state tax. Cards gave him the best offer, and Arizona is a great place to retire. Hashtag golf. Maybe. But J.J. Watt can retire wherever the hell he wants. Why does he need to go to a place to retire? He's 32. I don't think he's that concerned about that. Now, the other things you say, true. In terms of a tax situation, it's a good place to be. In terms of good weather and good golf courses, it's a great place to be. Hey, Jim, I suck as a caller. Source, me. Signed, Johnny in Texas. Mike in Buffalo. It's not bad. It's a reliable source, right? Dear Rome, I suck at calling your show. Signed, Johnny in Texas. Source, me. That is an unimpeachable source. Me. All right. Still ahead. The Clippers come from ahead and choke again. I thought this was all going to change this year. I thought it was, quote, the coach's fault. Yeah, well, they have a new coach, and they're still choking late in games. Oh, the champ is in. Leffen Laguna tweets, we badly wanted Watt. Signed, Solar Guy. Thanks, Lef. Thanks for nothing at all. At Wooden Laconic, J.J. Watt signing with Arizona makes a lot of sense. Signed, Jeff in Southfield calls. Yo, Woodman, just because you don't understand the calls does not mean they don't make sense. They make perfect sense to me. Especially when he came out of nowhere and made a call to the show for the first time and was going on about Arthur Fonzarelli and the reason the Fonz can't pull. Because he's in Mr. and Mrs. C guest room over a garage, and there was no way Pinky Tuscadero was going to go back there and get nice with him over the garage.
Now, and that's a clone if ever there was one, Jim.
Go ahead, Alvy. Finish that thought.
Caleb Fonzarelli. Jim, while my respect for the Fonz as a clone has skyrocketed, my respect for the notion of the TV character Fonzie as a ladies' man has plummeted. No wonder he never got a second date with Pinky Tuscadero. Turns out his hopes of scoring with her got Malachi crunched between two realities. He doesn't have one, he doesn't have enough money to take her anywhere better than Arnold's, and two, the bed he wanted to take her to is in the spare bedroom of Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham's house. You know, that elbow in the jukebox trick is a lot less cool when the song that drops is Beck Sor Un Perdedor. But that's what you get when you hang with Ralph and Patsy. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. In the time of happy days, lunch with the monkey. Okay, enough of that. Jim, I don't want to blow the best first call in jungle history by going too long, so I'll leave you now with a quote from Keith Richards. After all is said and done, got to move while it's still fun. Better walk before I get run. Bam, 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 bam.
What, you don't get that? You don't understand that call. He's right. That was the best jungle debut call I think we've ever had. When we return, still ahead, I've got Corey Kispert. He's a forward with Top Rank Gonzaga. That's coming up at the top of the hour. Mike Young is in the final segment today. He's the head basketball coach at Virginia, and I do want to talk about the Clippers. I've also got a weekend whip around. It's pretty interesting. A full year into the pandemic, and where does that leave us? I will talk about that and more, but
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
A really quick reminder, not all beef jerky is the same. Told you about this. Well, Trapper is just better for you. It's higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right, quickly, one more tweet to read. Rome, going to Arizona is going to be amazing for JJ. Signed, Shaq, slowing down the run-and-gun Suns. Damasio in Albuquerque. All right, let me take one last shot at this. He's going to Arizona because there is upside in Arizona. Last year, Arizona had a 3-win improvement. Not only a 3-win improvement, but they had 5 1-score losses last season. 3 wins better, 5 games where they lost by a score or less, and they play in a nasty, nasty division. This is a good team, is what I'm saying. It's a good team. It's not like this guy went to the Jets. Can you dig it? So it's a little surprising, but not nearly as surprising as a lot of you are making it out to be. Arizona. Thanks, Alvy. Corey Kispert of Gonzaga joins me at the top of the hour. In the meantime, some more basketball, but let me talk about the association. Now, it's not totally out of the realm of possibility that Sunday's Bucks-Clippers game might be a finals preview. I mean, it's possible, right? Both these teams have a ton of experience and talent. And you can definitely see a path whereby both of them could emerge from their respective conferences and meet in the NBA Finals. Now, if that were to happen, if yesterday was a preview, then that's very good news for the Bucks and bad news for the same old LA Clippers. Because we've seen this before. The Clippers went into the fourth quarter of yesterday's game. They had a four-point lead. Then they stretched it to a seven-point lead. And it was impressive because they had been down by 11 in the third quarter. So we're talking about an 18-point swing on the road against a legitimate title contender. So given that LA is a team with multiple MVP candidates, you would expect the Clippers to go on a run like that and then finish it off, close them out. You would expect them to win that game. You would expect them to finish, close out the game, make a statement, get the dub, pack your bags, bust out of town. And then put another data point on the wall that shows that this team really is different from last year's choke artists. Except that's not what happened. That didn't happen. In fact, not even close, because the Bucks shut the Clippers down in the fourth quarter. Milwaukee held LA to 19 points in the fourth and 0 points in the final 4 minutes. So stop me if you've heard this before. But when it mattered most, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George simply could not find a bucket to save themselves. Now, not quite as bad as the artist glossed Pandemic P doing this back in the bubble.
George, way off. It's the side of the backboard.
Not that bad. Not side of the backboard, Pandemic P bad. Nothing is that bad.
George, way off. It's the side of the backboard.
But it was not good. In fact, it was below not good. The Clippers had the ball with a chance to take the lead three different times in the final 2 minutes, and this is how it went each time. Paul George missed a contested layup. Kawhi Leonard missed a three. Paul George missed a three. Like, and I don't really want to single anybody out, but PG missed his last 8 shots in that game, 8 in a row. And yes, the Bucks have been a great defensive team in the past that can lock you up and shut you down, but that has not exactly been the case this year. They have not been shutting teams down this year. So I'm not sure if the Bucks ratcheted up their intensity and locked up the Clippers, or if the Clippers just locked up the Clippers. Normally, I'm not the kind of person to read too much into a meaningless February loss for an NBA team, but I'm not sure that's a meaningless February loss for an NBA team. If that team is the Clippers, and that loss has all the hallmarks of a classic Clipper loss, then maybe a February loss does mean something. Because it wasn't just that they went cold when it mattered. It wasn't just that they got up by 4 and couldn't finish. It was that the Bucks took over that game and went on a 9-0 run to come back and win that game. In other words, when LA needed their MVP candidates, once again, they were nowhere to be found. And again, when Milwaukee needed its 2-time MVP, he delivered. Giannis outscored the Clippers personally, single-handedly, 17-10 in the final 8.5-plus of that game. One man, by himself, outscored the entire Clippers team. And then to put an exclamation point on it, with just over 10 seconds left, check out the insane ball movement from the Bucks, and then the nasty finish from Giannis.
Giannis, Holiday inside, great ball rotation, Middleton, Giannis downhill, slams it home, and the Bucks lead by 3.
And there's that happy, joyful Giannis. We don't always get to see that side of him. He's so competitive and edgy.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was more impressive. The ball movement, the dunk, or Giannis skipping down the floor afterwards. I'm pretty sure my man could cover half the court with just 2 skips. I'm not sure what's worse for the Clippers, just letting Giannis get to the bucket like that, or Paul George making the travel sign while Giannis was still in the air. I mean, what a bad look. What a bad look. Giannis, though, was feeling it after the game.
It's greatness. You know, when you go against the best in the world down the stretch and you're trying to get a stop and they're trying to score on you to win a game. I love just taking that individual pride, guarding, you know, the best players.
That's Giannis, and I see that, and I respect that. You want to see that attitude from your best players at the end of the game. I'm just not sure that's the kind of attitude that we're going to see from the Clippers' best players at the end of a game. All right, maybe it's one game. Maybe it's just one game, but then again, maybe it's not. because the Clippers changed the coach. But did they change their leadership issues? Kawhi and PG skated on the blame last year because there was so much for them to take, except it all got put on Doc Rivers. So those two guys skate. Now here we are in a new season with a new coach, and they've had more time together, and the old pattern continues to show up again. I mean, at times there was way too much weight put on this notion of a finisher. Like, who's your finisher? Who's the guy? Who is the guy that's going to get the ball in the final minute when you need a bucket, when you need a win? But in this case, I'm going to ask the question, who is their finisher? Who is the guy who's going to say, give me the freaking ball in the final minute. I'm going to get you a bucket, and I'm going to get us this win. Who is that guy? It was supposed to be Kawhi. It was supposed to be Paul George. It was supposed to be both. I mean, I know who it is for the Bucks. It's Giannis. For the Clippers, though, it's nobody. Somehow they've got two MVP candidates on their team, but nobody who can get them a bucket when it matters most against another good team. So if you're a Clipper fan, this is the worst case of deja vu, because when it matters most, the crew known as Lob City just turns into Brick City and they can't make a shot. And it sounded even worse than it looked during the game afterwards. Kawhi and George were going on about pace. Our pace isn't right. And that's only when George was not going off on the officiating. You know what's even more important than pace? Actually making a shot down the stretch. I'm looking at you, PG. Making any of the eight that you missed would have been a positive.
Hits the side of the backboard.
In fact, making any of those eight probably would have even helped pace. You know what else might have been beneficial at the end of that game? Getting a stop on the other end. So if you can't make shots at the end of games and you can't get stops at the end of games, you're not going to win anything that matters. And according to The Athletic, the Clippers rank near the bottom of the NBA in both categories. And what's that tell you? Tells me a hell of a lot about their so-called finishers. The two guys who were brought in to finish aren't finishing. And you can't blame it on the coach. You already threw that card. Stop blaming it on the pace. Stop blaming it on the officials. Man, look in the damn mirror. The Clippers need to wake their asses up and get out of bed. Now more than ever, since they don't have Doc there to do it for them.
Jackson, are you in bed right now?
I am laying on my bed, yeah.
Jesus Christ, Jackson.
Hey, Jackson, are you still in bed? Well, yes. And then he goes full JC blast on him.
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
Jesus bleep. It's Kawhi and PG. Hey, man, I'll give him this. At least it was a game in prime time where the stars actually played. That's a good thing. My man PG is complaining an awful lot about the refs. An awful lot about the refs, especially since they're not playing downhill and they're not attacking the basket. Just bad. Just a bad look. Can't make a shot, can't get a stop, and on the road with a great opportunity to send a message, they melt down again. And you can't blame it on the coach. Wells tweets, Paul George is awful when it matters the most. Signed, Rick's last smack-off call. Hey, in fairness to Paul George, he's played really well this year. But in those moments when they need him and Kawhi the most at the end of games against tough competition, they're still no-showing. They're not getting it done. And in fairness to Rick, that smack-off call was not that bad.
I'd like to welcome first-timer Sarah T. in Providence. How fitting that all of New England is being represented by a woman. And good news, Sarah, despite getting run, Bob Kraft already has you penciled in for a starring role in next year's Perversion Excursion.
All right, so maybe not his best effort. But he did reference a perversion excursion. He'll be back. You know how it is. I mean, even Tom Brady has lost a few Super Bowls. That is the Super Bowl. It doesn't always go the way you expect. The Super Bowl of the jungle is the smack off. No date yet, but we will have it. Drew in West LA is trying to help. He's trying to explain why J.J. Watt selected Arizona. Quote, Arizona does have a lot of upside. Have you seen the chicks in Scottsdale? Yeah, I don't know, Drew. I'm guessing J.J. Watt handles business pretty well. I'm sure that's not an issue. Man, I just can't meet any ladies. I got to go someplace where there's an abundance of women so I can get mine. Yeah, I don't think that's it. If you want to look at the defense, all right, if Chandler Jones is still there, you've got a defense that would have J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, Buda Baker, and Isaiah Simmons, who's figuring it out and who will be in his second season. There's a lot to like about that situation. I don't know. They might not have been a part of the speculation. They might not have been on everybody's short list. But when you look at the situation, it's not that surprising. Not nearly as surprising as a lot of you are making it out to be. You just want to talk crap. I get it. You just want to talk some crap. You got nothing better to do. Still ahead. I do want to talk about the PGA weekend and a number of guys coming out and representing Tiger Woods by wearing his Sunday red. And he said he was pretty touched by that. I've got a Monday whip around. And what the whip around represents is a number of stories slammed into one take. Hey, Jim, I'm pretty happy with myself. Source, me. Rit, Mike in Buffalo, helping him. War Eye Ray riding his bike attached to the front of a public bus and calling it a Peloton? Yeah, I don't think you'd get credit for that ride. Who's the instructor on that ride? Yeah, no, I don't think that would happen. War Eye Ray riding his bike attached to the front of a public bus and calling it his Peloton. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. Yeah, a little bit, I guess. When we return, Corey Kispert of Gonzaga joins me. Stay tuned.